Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of studies out of the book of Mark. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Boy, your eyes come open quick. You have an awakening in your marriage. Y'all know when the honeymoon is over. The honeymoon is not over when you fly back from, Hawaii or Alaska. No. The honeymoon is over when you have your first falling out. Honeymoon is over. It's on now. From this point on, it's on. Yeah. Honeymoon over. Amen. Y'all can still be there in Hawaii, but the honeymoon is over at that point. Hello, somebody. Amen. 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 And let me just throw some men on marriage. Let me just throw some men. Listen. When you get married, learn to be quiet. The Bible, there's a verse out of 1 Thessalonians that tells you to study to be quiet. You can't say everything that come to your mind. You can't. Not if you want to stay married now. Now, if you don't want to stay married, just say everything that come to your mind. As a matter of fact, just like that dump truck say beep, 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 and then dump, go on and say beep, 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 because it's finna come on out. But if you want to stay married, when that thought hits you, you say, no, go on back down, thought. Get down, down, Rover, down. Yeah. No, you ain't getting me kicked out the bathroom and the bedroom and the house. Hello, somebody. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. Amen. I know I'm right because the Bible tells us to go take a walk. It tells you to go take a walk, get some fresh air, go see the flowers. Look at the flowers. Go work in the yard. Amen. Amen. Go out there and cut the flowers. Amen. Trim some flowers now. Amen. Now you use scissors with that. You don't use an axe with that. Man, these flowers here just making it. Oh, man. Lord have mercy. Yeah. All right, let's go on and get into the book, the structure of the book, the structure of the book, the structure of the book. Introduction and sanctification in chapter 1. The first 13 verses. Then you have service, chapter 1, starting in verse number 14 through chapter 8, verse number 30. Then sacrifice is another big word. And you're going to see that Christ is going to talk about his death, his sacrifice, from chapter 8 to chapter 15. And then the resurrection and the ascension, Mark take one chapter to deal with that in chapter 16. All right, so let's look at the chapter 1 tonight, the introduction and sanctification. First of all, you will see Mark gives four witnesses. He calls four witnesses right off the bat. He's the first witness. Mark is the first witness where he says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm at chapter 1, verse 1. Mark is going to present four witnesses right quick that points at us and point to Jesus and show us who Jesus is. Mark says the beginning of the gospel. Notice, Matthew focused on the beginning of Jesus' genealogy. Luke focused on the beginning of Jesus' genealogy. John focused on the beginning before creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, even before creation. Notice what Mark focused on. Mark focused on Jesus' ministry right from the start. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's showing, right? He didn't go to the beginning showing his family, Joseph and Mary and all of that. Now, Mark picked up when Jesus first started his ministry. He said, we're going to look at from the beginning of his ministry. And that's what chapter 1 is all about, the beginning of his ministry. He called on another prophet, the prophet Isaiah in verse number 2. That's his second witness. So Mark is the first witness. You should write Mark down at number 1. Number 2, Isaiah is the second witness. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So Mark points to Isaiah, and Isaiah becomes a witness testifying this is how it was written in the script back in the Old Testament. All right. Then we have the third witness is John the Baptist. Verse number 4. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. And so John is the third witness. So we got Mark is the first witness, Isaiah the second witness, John the Baptist the third witness. But then you have God. He bring God on, God the Father, as a witness when Jesus got baptized. Look here at verse number 9 through 11. It says, and it came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, see, that's our word right there. Immediately coming up out of the water, he saw heaven opens. And the Spirit, like a dove, descended on him, and a voice came out of the heavens, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So, do you see in chapter 1, we got 4 witnesses that testified of the ministry of Jesus. Mark himself was a witness. Isaiah, he points to the scripture Isaiah as a witness. John the Baptist is the third witness, and then the Father, God the Father, is the fourth witness. And so he brings on these witnesses testifying of Jesus' ministry, of Jesus' ministry. All right, now, what did Jesus come to do? Well, right before he shows us what Jesus came to do, he shows him getting tested, because before you become a lawyer, you need to be able to pass some tests. Hello, somebody. Before you become a doctor, you need to be able to pass some tests. Before you even become a preacher, you need to be able to pass some tests. Before you even get your driver's license, you need to be able to pass a test. Hello, somebody. All right. Mark shows before Jesus do his ministry, he shows him being tested. Look at verse number 12. And what? There it is, that word again. And immediately. So Mark is showing that right after Jesus was baptized, the scripture says, and immediately the Spirit impels him to go out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days being what? Tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels was ministering unto him. Now, look at that verse there again. Mark is showing us a little bit different than Matthew temptation. Did you see the difference in the way Matthew wrote about the temptation of Jesus and the way that Mark is writing about the temptation of Jesus? Matthew wrote when Jesus was led out in the wilderness and he was tempted. He more or less focused on the fasting aspect of it, how Jesus didn't eat anything, didn't drink anything for 40 days. And when Jesus was at his weakest, then the tempter showed up. Mark didn't write it like that. Mark wrote it that soon as he got out there in the wilderness, he got out there and he done battle with the devil for 40 days. And the wild animals, all kind of stuff. Have you ever been in the country at night? You hear some strange things. Hello, somebody. Even crickets and stuff. You hear crickets and stuff. You hear strange stuff at night. Now, you think about it. Jesus went out into the wilderness, out into the desert, out into the wilderness where you got, you know, jackals and hyenas and stuff like that. And so not only did he have to deal with this fasting, no food and nothing to eat, but he had to make sure that he didn't get ate. See, not only did he have to deal with not having any dinner, he had to make sure that he wasn't somebody dinner. Right. Do you see that? Mark says that not only was he was tempted by the devil, he had to deal with them wild beasts out there. Now, so think about it. Jesus, for 40 days, he was tempted and tested beyond measures. Beyond measures. All right. But then after he passed the test, what verse number 14 say? What verse 14 say? Wait a minute, stop. You're reading too fast. What's the first two words? Your Bible says now after. Yeah. Now after. That's good. And after. So what Mark again is showing, watch that other word, and. Because it's showing a continual story. Mark is putting together a continual story and showing us that Jesus, soon as this thing was over with, right after he finished that, it wasn't like, let me go and chill out. I done passed this test. I'm going to kind of take a vacation for 6 months. No. Right after he passed that test, guess what he did? He got on the job. He got right on the job. He went right to work right after he passed this test. Look, it says, and after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Think about it. Jesus came preaching. Oh, that's preaching material right there. Yeah, Jesus came preaching. Think about it. God sent Jesus to this earth to fix a problem. He didn't come to be a scientist. He didn't come to be a school teacher. Think about it now. Out of all the professions that God could have sent Jesus to come and fix this thing, he sent him to preach. Why is that? Because man's soul is sick. Man's spirit is dead. What do a dead man need? A dead man don't need no education. A dead man don't need food. A dead man don't need something to drink. A dead person need life. Jesus came preaching the word, and there's life in the word. So he came to give some life through the word. See, what man need more than anything is the word of God. Remember Luke chapter 4, the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What do poor people need? Most people say, well, I just need me some money. I can make them with money. Not if you ain't got no sense. Listen. You know why poor people can't keep no money? They don't understand the battle out there. You know how rich people get rich? Somebody giving them money. They come up with a product to sell. Amen. Put a commercial out. And poor people is willing to give their last dime to get me a Big Mac. Hello, somebody. Tell the truth and shame the devil. You got think tanks. People are just thinking, how can they get money from the consumer? Why do you think at Super Bowl time they spend $1 million, $2 million, $5 million for 30 seconds? That 30 seconds must work. You ain't gonna pay no $2 million for no 30-second ad if it ain't working. It's working. Poor people need to be told the truth. Hello, somebody. Amen. And it ain't all about getting you something to eat. If I just get me something to eat, poor people are the biggest consumers. Hello, somebody. Now, you think about it. The poorest person in the world, in America, got a cell phone. Then I got kicked out their apartment, but got a cell phone. Lord have mercy. Sitting on top of their suitcase talking on their cell phone. Now, you think about it. No joke, it was one of the magazines I was reading. They was talking about that new poor. And they was talking about how people that's poor today, they got cell phones, they got big screens, TVs, they got all the latest equipment, but they are poor. They call that the new poor. Yeah, the new poor in America. The new poor ain't like it was when we was raised up in the day. You know, we didn't have no air condition. We had the windows. The windows was the air condition. You had a box fan. If you had a box fan to go in that window there. Hello, somebody. You was all right. That's the air condition right there. You big time. Amen. Praise the Lord. The old, you know, poor people, you had beans and rice. You had beans and rice.
Beans and rice is good.
And then you said, man, if we got something different today. They say, yeah, we got some rice and beans. Rice and beans. Hello, somebody. Talking about meat. That's right, you had to fry the bologna. Hello, somebody. Talking about spaghetti and meatball. You better chop up them wieners in there.
Right.
Throw them on in that pot. Hello.
We just had spaghetti.
Amen.
We just had the sauce and the spaghetti.
And talking about that, you know, that the spaghetti sauce. You better go get some more of that ketchup. Put some of water in that ketchup and pour it on in there. Amen. 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 But Jesus came preaching, Romans number 2, his preaching. And so we see his witnesses, his preaching. The scripture says he came preaching. And watch this, the result of his preaching. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Verse 15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And he was going along by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew and the brother of Simon casting a net in the sea, for they was fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishermen of men. And immediately left the net and followed him. And going a little bit further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the net. And immediately, see it again, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servant and went away to follow him. Look at the power in his preaching. Immediately, folks dropped their, not only fishing, that's their occupation. They left the job and followed Jesus. What a convert. This, we see his first four converts. His first four converts. And then when you go on, then you see his power. Verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and began to teach. And you'll read it there about how he cast the demons out of this man. And the Bible says in verse 28, and immediately the news about him went out everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Verse 29, and immediately after they had come out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And you'll read how he went and heals Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law. And then the Bible says in verse number 40, and a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And move with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and says, I'm willing, be clean. And that man is, and immediately the Bible says the leprosy left him in 130 days. Immediately. And so we see that Jesus has power over leprosy, over disease, and over demons. And so we see in chapter 1, we see his four witnesses, we see his preaching, and we see his power. The application point is one, and this is it. Follow Jesus because he succeeds where others have failed. Follow Jesus. Because he succeeded where others have failed. Think about it. Adam was in a perfect environment in paradise, and he failed. Jesus was in the wilderness in an imperfect environment, and he succeeded. Men are often in good environments, but they fail. Jesus, in the worst environment, he succeeded. That tells me who I need to be following. I need to be following Jesus. What about you this evening? Amen. You need to be following Jesus because he succeeds where other people have failed.
Bread of life.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for
sent
this message.
Down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.